Listen to today's Roster Report to hear about all the latest Patriots transactions. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Ross Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, August 10th here at Gillette Stadium, amidst training camp and on their way to Atlanta. Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Annie Hart, and Paul Perillo break down the roster.
And we are here with the Patriots podcast, the Roster Report. We are on the brink of the first preseason game of 2006. I'm Brian Lowe, along with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. On our way to Atlanta later on today for Patriots against the Falcons. We are about 2 weeks into training camp for this year, and lots of news and notes to get to. We got a couple of roster moves from this week, but let's just start out with some general observations from over the last week of training camp as we head into this first game. Anyone care to comment on some of the main things they've seen from these last 2 weeks?
Well, I think the biggest situation or issue at hand this week is inside linebacker, with Bill Belichick confirming the broken wrist for Teddy Bruschi and the fact that he will not partake in any preseason action. And you're looking at the likes of Barry Gardner and Don Davis working with the ones out at practice. Probably will get the start against the Falcons this week. And then others like Freddie Roach and Eric Alexander and Monty Beisel, it seems, has now been relegated a little bit to a reserve role, even in the thinnest position on the team.
He did miss quite a few days. He came back earlier this week, so perhaps it's just kind of, you know, for this game, he's not going to be with the ones. Who really knows? We're not really sure.
I got to agree with you, though, Bilo, because I got to think that he started off camp with Bruschi, and then he missed several days, and now Andy's right. He's been relegated to, you know, sometimes even the third group of guys. So I think it's precautions as he's coming back slowly. Probably won't be a big part of the game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I can't imagine Freddie Roach has leapfrogged him on the depth chart quite yet.
He's a mover right now.
No, he's a mover. I'm just saying I can't imagine he's picked up the system quick enough to be ahead of Beisel at this point in the process.
Right, and clearly this week in practice, I mean, they've done a lot of scout team work. They downplay, you know, the game planning for these preseason games, but we've seen a lot of these jerseys with players wearing Falcons numbers, so they're definitely doing some game planning. So maybe there is part of it is, okay, here's who we're going to be using in this week's game, and Beisel isn't, you know, maybe he won't play at all. I mean, that's possible as well. So hard to tell exactly what's going on there, but certainly that inside linebacker position with Bruschi for sure out through at least the preseason, and we know how these kinds of things work. If that's the minimum amount of time, much better chance that he misses more time than that than that he comes back on September 1st and plays.
Well, we're only a month away from the opener now,
exactly,
so you only have 4 weeks to the opener, and we've heard could be 6 weeks from this type of surgery, or I've even heard like 12 to 16 weeks as the worst case scenario for something of this nature. So, yeah, there's certainly no guarantee that he'll be ready for first, second week of the season.
And you're also looking at, okay, let's say he is ready in exactly a month in terms of the wrist being rehabbed. What kind of game type of condition is he in? Has he been able to practice? Has he been able to tackle players?
Right.
Clearly
is he going to be in a cast? Because we saw in the playoffs, the Ben Watson play doesn't happen against Jacksonville if Mike Peterson doesn't have a cast on, because he would have tackled him after a 7 or 8 yard gain. And that's gonna affect Bruschi on the field. But now you get back to, if he's not there, if Harrison's not there, now you're opening the season without Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison again. You're kind of in the same boat you were last season.
Right.
And even if Bruschi is there, there's still a second role there that seems like it's still a little bit up in the air. You know, Beisel's been injured, so maybe that's the reason why he's taken a little bit of a step back. But there's clearly playing time to be won in place of Teddy Bruschi for now, and next to Teddy Bruschi when he returns.
And where Mike Vrabel fits in all this is also an interesting question. An outside linebacker who converted into inside linebacker for much of last year because of Bruschi being out, does he, you know, where does he play? Where does he fit in? He said yesterday, typically he has no preference. He's ready and capable. He even brought up the idea that he's played a lot of tight end. He can play multiple positions. He can, you know, he can be called upon.
Things are so thin at the linebacker position right now. He may be the first player in NFL history to start at two spots at once.
Two spots at once.
He might be like half in the middle and half in the outside.
Would that be in the 3-4 or the 4-3? Because it would be very impressive if it's part of the 4-3. If he's two-thirds of the linebacker position.
You do say, you know, he's plays the game and the media says he'll play wherever they need him. But we know for a fact he prefers to be on the outside.
Sure.
He's probably a more valuable weapon there thanks to his skills in terms of rushing the passer and his versatility. And while, he'll do what Bill asks him to and, be the good soldier, it's better off for the team, and he'd prefer to be on the outside.
And while I don't think the coaches would admit it, I got to think that Belichick would prefer to have him on the outside even more so this year than last year, because you don't have a guy waiting. Last year, Colvin wasn't really playing. And it was McGinnis and Vrabel on the outside when Mike moved inside. This year, you're dealing with someone who, at the very least, at the very most, is completely inexperienced. You know, you're dealing with Telly Bantakane or, you know, one of these rookie draft picks or undrafted guys. They just don't have any depth, really, at linebacker. I think that the depth overall on the team has been a little bit undersold, but linebacker, it's not. It's a major, major concern.
And another wild card in all of this is Chad Brown, who was signed right before training camp. He's now missed about a week of training camp action. You wonder if he was healthy, if they would be looking at him as an option on the outside, and that would give Mike Vrabel more. They would be more comfortable moving Mike Vrabel inside.
Right.
That's another situation.
Be in the mix because, as Paul said, it's basically Tully Bantakane and no one else right now. Yesterday, when they went to the twos, it was Colvin, who's with the ones, just switching sides, and Bantakane coming in as the only second team quote unquote player.
Right. And that's a good point, and that's been like that since day one of camp. When they've gone to second groups, guys like Colvin and Vrabel, one of them has generally stayed in there. That must be an indication of how far a guy like Jeremy Mincy still needs to go. And Bill talked about he's just fighting for a special teams job. Yeah. I think that, you know, he's probably a promising young player still. I'm not writing him off because of 2 weeks here, but that's how long he probably still has to go before he's even factoring into the mix. We've seen Tully Bantakane. Tom's made the point several times, 3 years, and he really hasn't been able to factor into the mix.
Well, certainly the linebacker position has a lot of intrigue. A few of the other storylines. Deion Branch, obviously, nothing new to say there. He still hasn't shown up, and no reason to think he will or won't come anytime soon. So there's really not too much more to talk about there. A few of the transactions since we last came to you with the roster report last week, a whole bunch of players came off PUP on Monday. That includes big names like Richard Seymour, Rodney Harrison, Dan Copen, also Jonathan Sullivan and Randall Gay. We also saw Daniel Graham practice for the first time. He had not been on PUP, but hadn't practiced since the beginning, and then Garrett Mills came back the next day. Patriots signed free agent wide receiver Eddie Berlin earlier this week, another guy added to the mix. He happens to have more experience than just about anybody in that group of six or so, which isn't saying much, in that group of six or seven guys who are fighting for maybe one or two of those last wide receiver spots. And then also, in an interesting move, the Patriots traded Ross Tucker to Cleveland for an undisclosed draft pick, much more of a situation where Cleveland had a need for an interior lineman. The Patriots are probably saying, hey, he's probably not going to make this team. Let's get an undisclosed pick. Send him off to Cleveland.
It's also a conditional pick.
A conditional pick. So there's
a chance he wins a starting job there.
Exactly.
I mean, we don't know the specifics. You might end up with a fifth-round pick for Ross Tucker, guy you're probably going to cut.
Exactly. They have some depth in offensive line. When everyone's healthy, which aside from Nick Kazier right now, there definitely is some depth there, some guys who are going to be their seventh or eighth linemen who have some legitimate experience in the NFL, if you're talking about Brandon Gorin, Russ Hochstein.
And Tucker has some experience. He has some versatility, so he's more valuable to a team like Cleveland, who lost LeCharles Bentley, and maybe they can move him around a little bit.
Also lost Bob Hallen,
right.
It appears.
So
it's a strange situation.
He's a guy they can kind of put in different spots on the line. I'm sure Cornell and Belichick spoke.
Absolutely,
So that's probably a good move for both teams at this point, because like as Andy said, he probably wouldn't even have made the roster here.
And real quick, another move I didn't mention, two players were placed on injured reserve, Mel Mitchell and Matt Shelton. Mitchell.
That's it. The season's over.
The season is over. Matt Shelton, Charlie Weiss's former.
The ship is sinking.
But Mel Mitchell was certainly signed as a special teams guy, and you've got to figure that that's a big loss that in terms of the special teams. Was he in the mix for a defensive back position? Hey, if he's on the roster, he'd be in the mix, but That's a loss there from
Matt
from
Shelton hit the jackpot.
Matt Shelton hit the jackpot. He's got a roster. He's got an NFL gig. He's got an NFL gig through at least February. So not bad.
And if I was Eddie Berlin, I'd talk to Matt Shelton and see how he worked that out.
Well, let's talk about wide receiver real quick. Again, like I said, Deion Branch not there. Eddie Berlin, a guy that at all you think can open eyes here?
No
chance to make the team.
Next. Not only does who's the next I don't think he's all that talented as a player anyway. I think it's. He was out of football. He admitted to us that he hadn't put on a helmet since last fall, couldn't find anybody to throw routes for him. He basically claimed, you know, he's got a lot of rust to knock off simply because he hasn't done anything in football. He hasn't been with the team.
I saw that Dez White was released earlier this week. I don't know. Is he a guy that they would look at? He at least has some experience. He's got he's put up some numbers.
You know who
but
he is?
Who
he's,
is Dez White?
Dez White?
No, who is Dez White? What's his real
like
first name?
Dez
is it Dez
White and Kevin Johnson who get cut every year? Yep. And every team that needs a receiver says we should pick up Dez White or Kevin Johnson. You know what? They both stink. That's why they keep getting cut.
You know what? Story. A lot you of know? The guys out here stink.
Yeah. But it's not going to be
well,
that offense. Big of a difference.
Well, so just you know,
like
knowing,
Paul keeps saying, like we're talking about like fifth receiver spots here.
Right.
You know, it's
knowing nothing really about Eddie Berlin. I would just say it's very strange to me that a guy that was around for 5 years and has 26 catches, okay? He made 20 of those in one season with Tennessee, and then they cut him. So what does that tell you about what his perception is? His best year,
he was cut.
He, you know, he spent 4 years in Tennessee, had his best year, and they let him go. And then he went to Chicago, caught like two balls, and they cut him.
Well, somehow he got a number in the 80s on this team, whereas most of the wide receivers are in the teens or single digits.
That's true.
So there you go. I think that's significant, is it not?
Don't forget about Tom's boy, Kelvin Kite.
Kelvin Kite, number two. He's been on the rise, I believe. But it's interesting because for a lot of these practices this year, Rishay Caldwell has been the only wide receiver with a number in the 80s. Troy Brown, sort of in the in-and-out variety, and Deion Branch not out there. Chad Jackson. Any thoughts on Chad Jackson? He was taken off PUP, has practiced only three times, and has not been seen since. Those three times, I want to say, were last Tuesday, Wednesday, in that range. What's the situation there? Are we going to see him? PUP is not an option anymore. If he does have a new injury, it's either injured reserve. It's got to be injured reserve, or they keep him on the roster. What do we think?
Not good. That,
it's a hamstring injury. You know they're going to hold out because the hamstring is there's the hope it recovers. Mm-hmm. Then you do something, you tweak it, it sets you back a couple weeks. It's one of those lingering things. I just think we've already probably reached the point or are getting very close to the point where this is going to severely hinder his entire rookie season because he just isn't in the playbook, isn't getting the reps. We know that for some reason, whether it's just the route running or whatever, the chips are kind of stacked against rookie receivers to start out.
But what an opportunity he would have had on this team
if he was
healthy.
And that's fine, but it's now it's just an if that we'll never know.
Some guys penciled him in right away as a starter. I don't know.
Some guys had him in the Pro Bowl in year two.
I don't know what that chooch was thinking about.
But
Which guy here?
I had him starting, and he had him in the Pro Bowl.
I had him in the Pro Bowl before his rookie deal runs out.
I had him being a bust, but if we don't see him next week.
How's Darnell Bing doing so far this preseason?
He's already changed positions.
Playing linebacker, and he's missed two open field tackles in one game.
Very good.
But Jackson, if we don't see him next week when training camp comes to an end, it's like Andy said, it's hard to imagine he's going to come in and make a huge impact.
Correct.
I know he's in the meetings. I know he's studying the playbook. But until you get on the field, even in preseason games, not just practice, and go up against live competition, the team can't evaluate you.
Bill says it all the time. Whatever his year-long 100 practices are, a large percentage of those come with the double sessions and everyday workouts in preseason.
Right.
That's the foundation.
Because once
you're done.
Once the season starts, it's so geared toward game planning in week to week for that opponent. Now is the time where all the installation and all the preparation for the season is getting put in place, and he's missing a lot of that. Like Tom said, you're getting the mental reps, but for a rookie receiver, I would imagine, we should point out, and we talked about it yesterday on PFW in Progress, Terry Glenn was a very similar situation. He missed virtually all of training camp, even in the first week of the season with a hamstring injury his rookie year. And ultimately went on to have a fantastic rookie year where he caught 90 balls. Unbelievably the exception rather than the rule to have not only a rookie receiver contribute that much right away, but to do so after getting off to a slow start.
Yeah, you're talking Glenn, Moss, and Bolden in recent history. Those are the three that have come in their rookie year and set the world on fire.
In Atlanta tomorrow night, give me a player or a situation that you're looking at. Matt Cassel, okay.
Yep, I want to see him. I mean, I wasn't here last year like these guys were, so I'm interested in seeing him in a game situation. Because in practice, he's got a cannon for an arm when he gets rid of the ball, but he seems to hold on the ball a little bit too much when he's in the pocket. So I want to see him when the pressure's coming and in game-time situations, and I'm sure we're going to see him for a good, two to three quarters.
Say three quarters of action, you could see Matt Cassel.
So I want to see how he looks, because Paul, pointed out he probably won't look absolutely abysmal, but if he does, then you got to start wondering, is someone else coming in here, or is someone else on the horizon?
It won't be Todd Mortensen.
No, it will not.
I don't think he's been looking too good.
Lawrence Maroney.
Lawrence Maroney.
Since I've cut ties with the wide receiver who was supposed to, change his whole offense, I'm taking the rookie running back. He's looked very good in practice, looked quick, energetic, shifty, make moves in the open field, catching balls out of the backfield. Now I want to see it with a helmet on and other guys trying to hit you.
Well, I think, guy in mind, Paul?
I think Andy and Tom's points are probably more relevant for the long term than mine, but I'm going to go with Barry Gardner for the immediate future, well, just to see how dire straits this is. If he can, you know, kind of step in, and I know they probably won't play starters very long on Friday night, but you know, Atlanta's got a pretty good running game, and I like to see Barry Gardner, maybe the first couple of series against Warrick Dunn and Duckett and what's your guy's name, Norwood?
Jarius Norwood.
You know, I like to see him step in. I personally think with Beisel and Gardner as your inside linebackers potentially, that's better than Beisel first year and Chad Brown.
Sure.
I think Chad Brown's experience inside was very limited when he came here. That wasn't necessarily something he was suited for. Gardner, even though he hasn't really played extensively in a long time, I think is probably better suited for that than Chad Brown was last year.
And just one quick point, another guy to keep an eye on is Ellis Hobbs, who hasn't had a great camp and seems to he's starting to lose a little bit of his confidence. Be interested to see if he gets beat early on by a Roddy White for a big play or something like that, just to see, you know, his reaction to it. So just a guy to watch.
I'm curious to see Eugene Wilson. Is he starting a corner? Is he playing corner? Where does he fit in? I think Dave Thomas, you got to figure.
Oh, he's already great. We don't have to watch him.
Okay, Canton. No, but I think seeing what kind of impact he can make, I think he's probably going to get a lot of reps, especially Graham, I assume, probably won't play. Benjamin Watson, who knows? I mean, he's sort of he's been in and out of camp as well. But so definitely we'll start seeing what these guys can do in some game situations. The kicking situation, of course, as well. Who gets the first opportunities in that battle?
Yeah, I can't believe none of us really talked about that.
You know, Gramatica and Gostkowski, who gets the first kickoff? Who gets the first field
goal
opportunity?
I think we're actually waiting to see it. You know, in a game situation before we can comment on. It's hard to see.
Sure,
in practice,
sure.
They just kick a few, you know, and then they go. But now we get a chance to really look at them and see how they do in a game
and
situation.
And certainly, if it comes down to a potentially game-winning opportunity, we'll see who gets that opportunity and who can convert that. So we are on our way to Atlanta in just a few hours. We're going to be covering this game as the 2006 preseason kicks off. Thanks to Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. I'm Brian Lowe with the Patriots Roster Report, and we go back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. You can call our training camp hotline for the latest information for attending a public practice at 508-549-0001. Thanks for listening, and go Pack!